Hey, this is John Bolger with Premier Guitar, and I'm with Uli John Roth shortly before his concert in Nashville, Tennessee. Uli, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, tell me about this. This is this iconic signature guitar that you've been playing for quite some time. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I've been playing Sky guitars since the 80s, early 80s. And there were only like five originals. They were all prototypes, including the first ever seven string. And then I played these for many years, but a lot of people actually copied them, you know, without my permission, and they were usually very bad copies because all they had to go by were photos, and that is, it's a very difficult guitar to build for several reasons. And so a good friend of mine, the CEO of Teen Guitars, Elliot Rubinson, actually persuaded me to make a signature series. And at first I was a little hesitant because it's just so personal to me. But then I thought that the advantage would be, first of all, other people would be it would be shared with other people, but we would be able to build prototypes and you know, make further progress. So that's what we did. In the end, we had a limited edition of 50. Which were just sold now, so we are going to do a new edition, which will be slightly different. But the Sky guitar came about because I was traditionally a Strat player in the Scorpions, and I had a beautiful white Strat, which I still have, 1975 model. But when I was playing leads, increasingly I had the urge to play a little higher than you could on the Strat, because the Strat stops on the C sharp. Wow. I don't even have cotton wool in my ear right now. It stops on that note, and I wanted to go like here, you know, and I couldn't. So the first idea I had was to extend the Strat. So my guitar builder, Andy Dimitriou in Brighton at that time, he actually put two extra frets onto the Strat. So I had two extra frets, and then I was able to play two notes higher, which I did, and it was great. He did a great job, and then he said, look, I can build you any guitar you like. And then it clicked. That was the first moment where I actually had the idea to even think about my own guitar, because before, that was inconceivable, you know. And then that set a whole thing in motion, because then I really thought about what I wanted. I wanted really a guitar which was had everything the Strat had, sound-wise and playing-wise, but more. I also wanted a little bit of a hybrid, because I love the sound of the Les Paul, which is completely different animal to the Strat. You know, the Strat to me is always like a pencil drawing, very crystal clear, but essentially hard. Whereas the Les Paul is very feminine, soft, and creamy sounding, you know, rich sounding. And I wanted both. And that was another thing. Anyways, to get the extended range, I had to come up with a shape that allowed that. And away went the lower cutaway. That's the first thing. But I also wanted a guitar that was visually pleasing and balanced. You know, and so this guitar is has its own kind of symmetry. It's not perfectly symmetrical, but it feels symmetrical, and to me that was very, very important. So I ended up with all these frets going up here, and the first Sky guitar, the frets just kept getting smaller and smaller, and there were, I think, 36 of them, which meant, like, with normal fingers, it became very hard to make these notes sound right. And so I had the idea to have whole tone steps at the top, you know? Yes? And that worked great, because I can get like an amazing sound. Plug your ears. Right here,
right.
Which you would never get if they were not spaced like whole tone steps. The only downside is you don't have any semitones, you know. So the semitones I'm creating, but crisscrossing the string. Yeah, it's a little uncomfortable. But then here in the top range, I don't play these virtuoso runs normally. It's more to really be able to go up into the sky and fly. You know, so I tend to play more slowly up there, except for if I play some classical pieces which are more demanding, you know, like the Vivaldi stuff. Anyway, so that's the idea. And also that's where the scalloping came from, because I needed to be able to pick without hitting the fingerboard.
Oh.
So I thought, let's do that. I had seen Richie Blackmore do that, but and I had never tried it, and I liked it a lot. So from then on, all my guitars became scalloped, because to me it feels better and it sounds better even, you know. Some people might disagree, but I hear a very clear difference in sound. It's just more singing, because you're, I think there's various reasons for that. So that's that, you know, and that's why they are called sky guitar, because you can play so high. And some of them have a 7-string, and this one is just a 6-string. then the other thing that we needed was a pickup system that could deliver this outrageous kind of freedom that I wanted. I wanted to be able, at the flick of a knob, to dial in a superb, like Les Paul tone, or a real Strat tone, or something in between, you know? And with this system, I can do that. And let me explain. It was designed by my good friend and electronic genius John Oram from England, who made his name designing big mixing consoles like the old Trident mixing boards, etc. And so he had superb ear and the right kind of knowledge about the analog electronics, you know. So this is an active system, and it is so powerful, it's easily the most powerful in the world. That's why we have an 18 volt power supply. I could run it on batteries, but it only lasts a few hours, and you know, then to me that's not a big deal. I have the power supply, so
the power supply, so it's sending it's sending phantom power through
yes, that? And I have a stereo lead, so it comes through the stereo lead, and half of that lead creates the sound, and the other is just the power. Oh. You know, and yeah.
And that allows you to have these active controls on it?
Active controls and lights. You know, I've got lights everywhere.
Oh, that's great.
Which is absolutely necessary, because I don't see a thing when I play anymore. I used to have great eyesight, but now when I look down without glasses in the dark, you know, it's just, or even when there's like big stage lights, it's just a big blur.
Sure.
You know, so I tend to just use the force. Most of the time I get away with it, but with these lights, it helps when you're playing something tricky. You immediately know your position, you know, and I love it. And I can dim them. I can dim them at the back, although I tend to have them quite strong always. I like the glare.
Sure.
Whenever that's on, it feels like, yeah, we've got something, you know. We're ready to roll. Yeah. So that's the power supply. And these electronics are pretty outrageous, because, first of all, when I asked John to design these pickups or that entire system, which we aptly called Mega Wing, because initially had four coils for each pickup. He said, oh, well, that can't be done. And he's the person who would never say that can't be done, you know. He said, don't even go there. But I kept nagging him, and 3 days later, he came up with an idea. So anyway, to cut a long story short, what this guitar does, see, this is a perfectly clean sound. But I've got like a huge dB gain boost here. Yeah, and no other guitar can do that, because I'm playing on the clean channel on one at the moment, on a 100-watt amp.
Wow.
You know, yes, without any effects,
so
except
all that
for the
dirt
echo.
Is through generated through
that rhythm. Is this is just this, but that's just the beginning, because I've got three other knobs here, and each one gives me another 20 dB boost of my favorite frequency range. I've got a bass boost here, you know, which I can take out 20 dB and I can bring into it. And I'm using that a lot on stage because every stage is different and I'm constantly re-EQing the guitar to the point of where it sounds perfect for me. Every day it's different and that's why I don't have any signs. I couldn't see it anyway. I just do it by ear and feel. So everything is very, it's almost floating on this guitar, you know. Yes, nothing is really set. Everything is like free and you do it just by ear. Then I've got a very powerful mid boost, which pretty much is almost like a wah-wah, but not as brutal. And it does this. Again, 20 dB, that's out. Get like a Strat sound. If you want Les Paul. Or if I take it out, then you get like a Tele kind of sound. If I want the Strat, I go to the single coil, dial in a few more things. A little bit of treble, a little bit of mid, a little bit of bass, take out, roll off some of that, and you have a beautiful. Yeah, and I can. This guitar, you can do pretty much anything.
Wow.
You know,
it gets better
because we developed this guitar builder, Boris Dominger. He came up with an amazing idea. So, because I said, you know, because the magnetic field of the pickups of the Strat are totally different from the magnetic field from the Les Paul. You know, one is very crystal clear, the Strat. The Les Paul is more fuzzy, like a P90 or something like that. I can do both here because this changes the magnetic field. And so when I go into humbucking, it really goes into real humbucking mode, and single coil is real single coil. You know? And again, this is so important for me because I'm using it all the time. And I love playing with all these colors during the gig, particularly during the improvised parts. You know, during a normal guitar lead, I wouldn't really fiddle so much, although I'd use the gain in order to just bring it up and down. But yeah, so those are like the most important things. And there's actually a pickup underneath here, and that's very important to get that really, you know, warm. To get that kind of tone, I wouldn't get that with the other pickups, you know? And yeah, anyway, so that's pretty much that system. I do use the Tronical tuning system. I can't live without it because I hate tuning, and that thing really makes it easy for me on stage, you know? And if I want to tune up, this I'm now in E flat, if I want to tune up, it does it in a split second to E. And it has happened on stage sometimes when I jam with other people, I have to sometimes do that, you know. Or you break a string and I have floating tremolo, the guitar will be totally out of tune. This has happened to me with the Smashing Pumpkins once on a TV show. This thing came off. Because there was a problem with one of the screws here, you know. Mm-hmm. After many years, it suddenly happened. The guitar was so out of tune, it was unbelievable, but the system brought it back into tune.
Wow.
In pretty much no time at all. Yeah, I love these systems, and they have a new generation coming, which will be mind-blowing. They're almost there. And I've been their first endorser, and because the guy who built it, Chris Adams, yeah. As one of my best friends, and he's just amazing, you know. Yeah. I can only recommend this. It should be on every guitar.
Well, that's an incredible
and guitar. And it's on all of our guitars. Oh. Even my double neck flamenco guitar has it. And my guys, we have two guitar players. They are both using it. Yeah. So
does he, if you buy your signature guitar at Dean, will it come with the tuner on it?
The new ones will. Oh. The first series didn't because the tuners didn't exist at that time to that specification. We absolutely. You know, I want a guitar which is like total cutting edge, but at the same time gives me like the total analog traditional feel of a real instrument. That is so important. And I need both, you know, and this guitar delivers that.
Yeah, that's the most unique signature guitar I've ever seen. It's amazing. Yeah. All those.
And they're all different, you know. I mean, they have different finishes, and so they even come with names. They all have names. This one is Lionheart. It's one of my favorite all-rounders. On this guitar, you can do anything. It kind of plays by itself. I remember when I first got this guitar, it was at the NAMM show in, I think, 2012. We had a gig in Ramona at the night or somewhere, oh, whatever. Orange, whatever. Yeah. He sent me the guitar, and I took it out of the case. I walked onto the stage, and we played the gig. It was that perfect.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so they're all, yeah, they're just amazing. I love them. You know?
Fantastic.
It happened to me last 2 weeks ago in Japan. I was there video editing, and I did a video shoot for the number one guitar magazine there, Young Guitar. Didn't have a Sky guitar because I wasn't there for. So they asked around. One person had two, and he had one of the latest ones. He gave me that guitar, and I did the whole demonstration. It was perfect. You know, I was so jealous. I want them all, but they come with a price tag of $14,000 for the. For the 7-string, and so it's not for the faint-hearted.
And that guy had two of them.
Oh yeah, there are some collectors in Japan. Most of them are in Japan. Hmm. There are quite a few in America, you know, and some people have two, ordering the third one as we speak.
Wow, that's great.
Well, I'm just addicted to them, you know. Yeah. I don't want to play any other guitar live. I have no desire to do that.
Right. Well, yeah.
You see, so that's basically, that's my effect. Because all I'm doing is I'm just connected to a carbon copy delay. And that's all.
So you know? Pedal boards is really simple.
Well, at the moment, I mean, sometimes I go a little overboard. But when we're having to fly, you know, that's what we're doing, you know.
So you have two carbon copies.
I have two carbon. I should have three. In fact, I have a third for my classical nylon string guitar, which I'll play tonight, and they're set differently. The carbon copy is not necessarily the best echo around, but for stage it's perfect because it tails off very nicely like an old tape echo, so that's why I use them. That's the power supply here for the Sky guitar, which comes with an on-off switch. So, you know, stand by. That's just a little chorus that our guitar player gave me. I sometimes have others. I have Blackstar chorus, which is nice. I have a whole bunch, but at the moment, I don't have it with me. This thing is a mean machine. I call it the communist because, yeah, look at the sign. It looks like straight from Cuba. A guy in Greece, in some little town in the middle of nowhere, built it, and he came and he said, try this. And now I only ever use it once during the show because it's basically identical to an old Fuzz Face, you know, the Dallas Arbiter. So I'm always using it to really simulate the ultimate destruction. And all the new ones they're building, none comes close to the old one because I'm playing these amps, these 100 watt amps on the clean channel. In fact, I don't have overdrive. And these are based very much on my favorites, Plexi Super Lead, 100 watt, except they're a lot more robust. They don't break. The Plexis were always like goners when I played
Those are the Blackstar Artisan 100.
Yeah, to me that's the best amp they have, but it's not a metal amp because it doesn't come with a preamp, and you really have to know what you're doing with this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little unforgiving because like these amps are. Once you know what you're doing, they're great, but it's quite an animal. This thing, this communist thing, I don't know what it's called, it's like really brutal. And what it does is this.
It's like the world has ended.
Exactly. So it's cataclysmic times 10. And we have this song called Fly to Rainbow, where even in the Scorpions, when we used to play it, lots of speaker PA systems blew up because our guy got so carried away in the middle, he used to rotate it. And the Scorpions used to carry their own speakers. Some of them were hand-built by Francis Buchholz. He put them together because he was like an engineer kind. And so often this happened, another tweeter blown thanks to this. And it was pretty identical in terms of sheer destructive power. And you can't get anything on the market, at least not. People give me gadgets all the time. And some of them, they look great, but none does this. You know, so I'm only using it once during a show, but it's enough. Because I can't use it for music.
Yeah, the building would fall down.
Yes.
If you used it
I told you to plug your ears.
Oh, I did, yeah. No, I did.
So this baby here is just a normal tube screamer, which I don't use a lot. But sometimes I can get everything really from the guitar, but sometimes I want to go from A to B very quickly, and that has a slightly different tone. So sometimes I'm using that. My whammy has, I have lots of whammy pedals and I love them. To me, it's like the most interesting effect. It's only recently that I really dialed in and found an interesting way to do something with these things. I'm always using it more like an octave kind of thing. And when I use it, because it makes the sound a little brighter, digital, I'm always putting in lots of bass end, lots of mid, I roll off the top end, and I go into humbucking mode. And then I play very quietly. But I also use it like, sometimes for overkill. I might do this as well. It's a very interesting device. And I use it maybe two or three times during the gig. Yeah. And that's it. That's pretty much the effects I'm using at the moment. You see, I forgot to bring a wah-wah. So we're doing all along the Watchtower. I don't have a wah-wah, and it sucks. That's basically this. You know, this amp, I'm setting it so not too extreme. You know, most of the controls are like just half. And here, as you've seen, this I was on one, literally. If I crank it more, it doesn't get that much louder because the guitar is feeding it to the point of no return. In fact, then probably the sound will deteriorate at some point. You know, mic-wise, these mics I don't like, and my rider normally always says SM58 because the SM58 for me, oh, she's got one. Yeah, there. No, that's not yours. That's Andy's. The SM58 is a more rounder sound. This to me sounds too nasal, and everybody's using it. They always sound the same. I don't like that, you know. These are normal 4x12s, 300 watt each.
And you're running both of those?
No. In a small club, well, this isn't even small, but you know, I try to be a little lenient.
Sure.
Because the people in the first row, they're like, these things are so directional.
Yeah.
There you won't be able to hear it with the band, but here it's a lethal death ray. And I mean, I'm entertaining the idea about putting plexi, but then it might really take away some of the sound on stage. I like the way it feels on stage. On the bigger stages, if you play Sun Plaza Hall in Japan or something like that, or a festival, most of the time I'll have two connected, or I will very often play two amps with a splitter. I have Lele splitters, active and passive ones. Also, I'm using this amp. It's a very interesting little amp a friend of mine made. It's called Blue Guitar. Thomas Blug is an excellent German guitar player, and he built this amp, which is a 100 watt amp. It only weighs 1.2 kilos. It's very smooth, and I'm using it on stage because it gives me a completely different tone. It balances this one. It's much more gentle, and you can play it at the lowest volume. You know, so if I have like an orchestra gig, this is the amp I'd be using. And also when I play my 7-string acoustic nylon, I'm going through this amp, and I'm going through one of these cabs, you know, plus a DI. Yeah. So that's pretty much my setup, you know. And it changes, but those are the most important things, you know. Any questions?
No, but it's an honor meeting you, man. I mean, you really are the guy that just invented the whole neoclassical. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but you know, all I did really was, there were great players around then, but I was so into classical music. And I didn't hear any of the other guys doing that. You know, they were all either pentatonic or semi-pentatonic, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand, why is nobody doing that? It was so obvious. But I heard these arpeggios in my mind, you know. But I didn't know how to do them. I needed to find a fingering that allows that. Because, you know, it didn't exist at that time. So I found various ways to do that and do it smoothly, and incorporated it in the early Scorpions albums. And then later on with Electric Sun, I took it a whole notch further with melodic arpeggios, you know, and that was all. It came from the classical. In classical music, these kind of things have been around for hundreds of years, but the guitar is still in its infancy. The electric guitar is maybe 50, 60 years old, you know. Starting with one of the greatest, Django Reinhardt. I did listen to Django, you know, and he was like perfect with his kind of stuff. And he did a lot of single. Always just with two fingers, you know. And I learned a lot listening to Django. And again, other players didn't really do that in that field. So I think that's what gave me the edge. And I also have a real love for flamenco playing. So I listened to the flamenco players, and I studied the classical guitar when I was a kid, more so than this even. So it was, and the violin, and the piano. So it was a foregone conclusion that I wanted to hear that on the electric guitar. And somehow I found a way to bring this into a hard rock band, the Scorpions, because suddenly we started playing diminished chords, which are a no-no. The Beatles did that kind of stuff, you know, but in rock, not many people did, you know, and all I did was play over it, you know, so melodically. The key was that, you know, arpeggios shouldn't be mindless up and down noodlings. There needs to be a point. It needs to have a logic, and that logic to me is in the melody. So I will do an arpeggio, but it leads to another something. It ends on a note, and that note is part of the overall melodic structure. You know, that's very, very important, you know. you know. So, and then you just speed it up, yeah. It's also important to play it very cleanly. You know, when I'm at home, when I pick up a guitar, I'm never through an amp. It's always just like that. And that to me is the most important thing. You need to be able to make the guitar sound great, dry, without anything, because the sound is in the fingers and in your mind. You know, you need to develop a vision of the tone that you want to hear, and then you go for that. And your fingers will follow if you do the right kind of things, you know. Unfortunately, in nowadays, a lot of players are not tone conscious anymore. I remember in the 60s, you could walk into some kind of club. There was a guy who could barely play, but had like a good guitar and an AC30 sounding good. I remember that so clearly. You know, nowadays there are a lot of people who can, you know, shred like hell, but sometimes they sound so awful and they don't even notice it. You know, to me that's not music. You know, so that's why I'm always beware of overdrive pedals. You know, it's like a pact with the devil. Right. I don't like it. You know, I'll use it for entertainment purposes, but never to do serious music with it. You know, because I'm, again, coming from the classical world, my mind is geared towards tone production. And it needs to be either beautiful or magical or whatever, never ugly. And in classical music, you have to blend with the violin, because they do everything naturally. Mm. And you know, we are connected through with gadgets, we go through speakers, everything is much further away, it's not so direct. That's why for me it's important to be able to just make that guitar sound good, you know, without anything, clean. So this is just basically clean, you know, and that's how I play. You know, it's actually quite simple.
Yeah, it's in your hands. I mean, that really is what it comes down to. But really, what a pleasure, man. Just thanks for sharing that with PG, and enjoy the tour,
PG.
Man.
PG, that's Premier Guitar.
Yes.
Well, in England, it would be PG Tips, which is one of their most famous brand of tea.
Oh, really?
Everybody drinks PG Tips.
Yeah, there you have it. There you have it. Well, cheers till next time.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.